Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Scripture says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And I want to talk to us this morning with this thought, and ye shall be witnesses. You shall be witnesses. Let's pray one more time for the preaching, teaching of the word. Lord, thank you for the word. Thank you for the light that it gives, for the understanding it brings. And Lord, today, God, I pray that you'll let our ears hear what the Spirit is saying. Lord, I pray you would anoint our hearts to receive it, be changed by it, challenged by it, made better by it today in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise today. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. And you can be seated in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. And you shall be witnesses. You know, we've talked about this year doing the work of the evangelist. Well, part of that is being a witness. We have dialed witness down to just telling somebody, well, witness is when you just tell somebody what Jesus did for you. Well, that's part of it. But witness is more than that. Witness is your life. If you're a witness, you'll live the life. If you're a witness for him, you'll walk the walk, you'll talk the talk. You'll do what he says if you're a witness. And he said, and after you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll receive power. You'll never be able to have the excuse, I couldn't do it, because he gives us power to do it. God gave us the power, the ability to be like him, to be holy as he is holy. He would never have told us to be holy as he is holy if it was an unachievable act. He's not dangling that in front of us like some kind of prize that we can never get. It's not like one of those games at the fair where you see that prize, but they've got it rigged. You'll never win it. You can't tell from where you're at, but that hole's not big enough for that ball you're throwing. You know, they know it's a sure thing. We're never going to lose. But God's not doing that with us. He wants us to attain these things. He wants us to do that. That's why he was so adamant instructing his followers before he left, go and tarry and wait for the promise. Go and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. The promise is coming, the promise that I told you about, the promise from the Father, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, it's coming. And after you receive that, you're going to be able to be witnesses unto me, and you shall be. You shall be. He knew it would be accomplished. There were going to be people that would embrace it. They received it, and they didn't pack it away. But they received it and realized what it was for. Do we realize what the Holy Ghost is for? When God filled us with the Spirit, it was not for us to bottle up. He said it would always be flowing. He said it would be like rivers of living water flowing out of us. That's the Holy Ghost, something that needs to be released, something that can move. You know, when you start thinking about rivers, they build plants and things along rivers because the current can provide electricity. They use rivers to transport and move things. And there were so many things back, especially when the world was first forming, that they recognized the power of the river. That if they built along the rivers, they would be able to have what they needed. They could transport, they could travel, they could fish or have food. They could use it for commerce and different things. But a river was important. Rivers could get you to places that you couldn't get to by land. And God, when he told us that it would be like a river, he said, because it's going to supply things that you can't do on your own, that you can't get by yourself, and you won't be able to do by yourself. Your words are going to be kind of empty just on your own. But if you will receive this gift, be filled with my spirit, if you'll embrace what that means to have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I don't want to treat the Holy Ghost like it's just some kind of lucky charm in my life. Like it's a, I've said this before, it's more than an accessory. The Holy Ghost is not an accessory to living for God. It is a necessity for living for God. If people don't last long without the Holy Ghost because they don't know where to go. The Spirit of God leads people in all truth. It gives you understanding. People don't stick around in things that they don't understand. If they don't know where they're going, they'll find another route. But if we have the Spirit and embrace the Spirit and realize that the Spirit does so many things, even in the Old Testament, there would be references where it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, not infilling people as he did when his Spirit was poured out, but the Spirit of God could move on people and they could do mighty things and they could prophesy and do things that in their natural flesh they couldn't do. They could interpret dreams and different things. God would give them that. They would have that Spirit come upon them and they could tell dreams to kings and different people. And so I'm thankful for the Spirit of God and I'm thankful that it's in us. But if we are going to be and do the work of the evangelist, we must have the Spirit. That's going to help us. It's essential for us to do that because we are witnesses unto the Lord. We're witnesses of what he can do. That's what the first church was doing when they went out. They were telling people what they had seen when they walked with him on the earth. And Paul, if you had the kind of revelations and things that Paul had where he knew the Old Testament so well, and then when the Holy Ghost moved in and it began to open his eyes to the understanding of what he said, the mystery that's been hid from the ages, from the beginning of the world, God gave him that revelation of the mighty God in Christ, and he began to convince and preach and teach that this Jesus was that very Christ, and he was changing people's minds and bringing salvation to people by the Spirit of God. That's what God wants from us. But it's got to be more than just us saying, yeah, back on this date and this date, I repented and I was saved. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. That's great. But then living that life, walking by faith, doing the things that God asks us to do, that's being a witness of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost does more than just tell a story or two. It is life. It gives you purpose. It adopts you into the body. It makes you his. And so now that I'm his, I want to be a witness that I'm his. I don't want to ever be ashamed to say I belong to him. I don't want to ever be ashamed to say that I serve the Lord God and that I want to worship him and praise him and tell people about him and live a life that's unlike the world. You shall receive power. We love that. But it's more than power to shout. It's more than power for chills and tongue talking. It's for living the life. It's for being a witness. That's what he said. And you shall be witnesses. That first and foremost, this is what I want. You're going to receive it. The initial evidence will be you speaking with another language as the Spirit gives you utterance. But it shall be for a witness. And that 120 piled out of that upper room. And immediately they were a witness to the rest of Jerusalem. And Peter stood up and began to preach. He was a witness to his people. And that's why he was preaching to his people. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus that you crucified is both Lord and Christ. And these men that were rabbis and devout men listened to this fisherman. They listened to this common man who under the anointing of the Spirit began to tell them things that they had been blinded to, things that they could not see. And they realized that this man had a wisdom that wasn't earthly wisdom, but there was something going on in it because it touched their heart. It didn't just stir their emotions. It pricked their heart. They knew that this was the truth and cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And of course, you know the rest. And he began to preach the message of salvation, and 3,000 souls were added that day to the church. Witness. Paul said this in Romans 1 and 8, another 1 and 8 scripture. He said, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all." Why? Because your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I think what Paul is saying, because this is a letter to the church. He said, "I thank God that there are faithful saints, that no matter where I go, I know somebody else is living this truth, that somebody else is preaching this doctrine. I thank God that there are people who are faithful to God." He said, your faith, your walk, we live by faith, that's scripture. We walk by faith, that's scripture. He said, "I thank God that your walk and your life is talked about everywhere, that the change that came upon you is recognized throughout the world." My goodness. Why? Because they had received the gift of the Spirit. They had power to be witnesses to all these nations and to the uttermost part of the earth. Wherever they went, wherever they were talked about, somebody knew these people belong to him. And Paul said, "I'm so thankful for faithful, consistent saints." If you're going to be a witness, you want to be consistent. You don't want a witness to be flip-flopping. You had somebody charged you with a crime, and you was on trial, but they said, "We got a witness that can clear you." And he gets on the stand, and then, "Well, I don't really remember. I'm not sure if I was there or not. But didn't you say the other day, yeah, I said that, but I don't really." You don't want a wishy-washy flipping around witness. You want somebody consistent that stays with the same story. "I know what I saw. I know what I know. I know what I heard. I know all what I told you, and I can stick with it. I'm not changing my story." That's the kind of witness God wants. He don't want you swinging with the world one week and hanging out with him the next. He don't want you out there doing all these other things. And the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Inconsistent is double-mindedness. When you become double-minded, you become inconsistent. You don't pray like you should. You don't read like you should. It happens. God wants a consistent witness in the church. Faithful. Now listen. When he said, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the world," he didn't say, "I'm thankful because you all are perfect. You got your life lined up right and never make a mistake, never have a problem, never get sick, never get mad, never slip up." Come on. They were the church, and they were human, and they had fallible things in their life, but their faith brought them back in line time after time again. You want to know one of the greatest things about faith to me? I've said this before, but when I think about the king, psalmist David, one of the greatest stories to me in his life is him not giving up when he was called out for his sin. When the prophet told him, said, "David, you are the man, and the child that you had, with all this mess that you did, that child's going to die." David went and fasted and prayed and sought God, repented. When the child died, he got up and he anointed himself and he worshiped. And he said, "I got plans to go where that child is. He can't come to me, but I can go to him. And I got plans to be where he's at." Instead of saying, "I'm not fit to be king anymore. God surely can't love me anymore." He got up and kept going. That's faith, and that's a faithful witness because that's what God wants us to do. And friend, with the power of the Holy Ghost, it's possible. If you slip up, that doesn't make you unworthy of the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. But you know what? Even a gift's got to be received. Even a free, I could buy you something, walk up and say, hey, I got you something. No, I don't want that. But I bought it for you. I don't want it. But it's free. I don't care. I can't make you take it. I could throw it at you and it just hit the ground. God's not just going to throw it at you. He said, you got to open up and receive this gift. Even a free gift's got to be recognized. It's got to be received. And then even a free gift needs to be appreciated. Praise God. And that's it. He said, your faith, your walk, your life. And that's what this is. When we serve God, when we walk with God, it is about faith. But friend, faith is not just about miracles, signs, and wonders. It's about walking in valleys. It's about enduring hardships. You know, I've said this for you. You could spell, if you wanted a synonym for faith, it could be called risk. Because if you have faith in God, you're going to take some risk in this life. What's risk? It means you trust. I'm going to do this, but I trust it'll work. And when you serve God, you're going to start having to trust God, and you're going to take some risk. Because faith isn't always easy. Faith makes things easy, but faith isn't easy. Do you get that? Do you understand what I'm talking about there? The Scripture calls it a trial of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. You got to fight for that thing sometimes. It's the trying of our faith that we read about in Scripture. You know that faith can be lost. Paul said, I have kept. Well, why did you have to keep it? Because you can lose it. Jesus told Peter, I'm praying for you that your faith doesn't fail. Don't let go of that stuff. Hang on to that faith. Because, honey, when you got faith in God, faith will lead you out of the boat and onto the water. It'll lead you into some places that don't feel real stable under your feet. A lot of times people say, I bet that water felt like a road, like just a paved road. I don't believe it did. I believe it was like probably like walking on a big water balloon. It don't feel good, but it's working. Sometimes we don't feel like it's going to be stable, but it's working. God knows what he's doing. Hey, listen, if you're Abraham, faith will lead you to take your promise up on a mountain of sacrifice and say, take his life. That's faith. And what did Abraham do? God will provide himself a ram, a lamb. He'll provide a sacrifice. I know it. He'll do it. He said that he believed. Hebrews said that Abraham believed that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. If I have to do this, it won't matter. God can rise. If I have to kill him, I'm going to pray for God to raise him up. Because that's what faith will do. It's a faith walk. And you know that the thing, like what Paul was writing about, he said, now, look here, church. People all around the world talk about your faith. It's spoke of everywhere, the faith you have. It's everywhere. And the thing is those people in Rome, a lot of them, they had no idea that their faith was reaching so far. But faith is as a seed. And when a seed is planted, it grows up big. It grows out wide. That's what the Scripture says. It becomes the greatest of trees. And you know, a lot of times, I could tell you an example on my property. I've got persimmon trees everywhere. And it ain't because somebody went and planted 50 different trees. I'm sure it started with one. And as persimmons, the seeds got moved here, there, and everywhere, here come more trees popping up. There's one real big old one there, and I'm sure that was the beginning. It's got to be the oldest one there. It's the biggest, tallest. It's everything about it. You know it's the oldest one there. But there's all these other ones all around it, because that old one is still, every year it loads up, and persimmons drop everywhere, and I start seeing new ones springing up everywhere, and I'm cutting them down as fast as they spring up because I don't need that many. I don't need 100 persimmon trees around there. But
How did these trees get way down here? Did you plant them? I didn't have nothing to do with it. That tree over there did. Wow. How did it get over here? Got transported somehow. Maybe a bird brought it. Maybe a possum brought it. Maybe a deer transported it some way. I don't know. But somehow they get there. Maybe the wind, maybe the water, maybe the rain washed it there. I don't know. You never know. Your faith, your life, it has a ripple effect. When you do something, when God does something in your life, it's like throwing a stone in a pond and it goes out. And it could be just clear, smooth. And you can, there could be a stick over here and a leaf way over here, and they're just sitting still. And you can drop a rock right here. And that thing starts moving, and that thing starts moving. It's all because of what happened right here. And you'll be surprised the things that can start happening just because of your walk of faith. Just because you will embrace the spirit that God gave you and say, I want to be a witness. I want to do more than just talk in tongues and run the aisles on Sunday. I want to be a witness. When I go out of this room, I want, every time I come here, I want to be like God just threw a big rock in my ocean. And now I'm going to go out there with the ripples. I'm going to go out of these doors and I'm going to affect somebody. I'm going to go out of here and be a witness. I'm going to go out and do the work of the evangelist. I'm going to be kind to somebody. I'm going to love somebody. I'm going to testify to somebody. I'll pray with somebody. I'm going to be a friend to somebody. And ye shall be witnesses. He didn't say nothing about us being entertainers or anything like that. He said, you're going to be a witness all over the world. I'm pouring out my spirit on all flesh. And you're going to see signs and wonders and miracles, and things will happen in your life if you'll embrace it. Our walk for God is not just for ourselves. You got to quit thinking it's just all about you. God didn't save you just for you. He didn't give you the Holy Ghost just for you. Do you need to have it? Yes, absolutely, 100%. Without the Spirit of Christ, we're none of His. We got to have it. If we want to rise up out of here one day, we got to have the Spirit. Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus up has got to dwell within us if we're going to go. But He didn't give that to you to save up. You know, they got a lot of people today, there's a word called preppers. Getting ready. And I got nothing wrong about, or no beef with people getting ready for things. So don't think. But their whole thing, I'm getting this. I'm storing up. Some people treat the Holy Ghost like a prepper item. I'm just going to store it up, and then one day I'll know when to let it go. You don't let it go. It leads you. You know, you got to let it lead you. You got to be willing to follow it. You got to be able to hear it because the Spirit speaks. He that has an ear, let the Spirit hear what the Spirit is saying. I want to be able to hear it, follow it, and then I want to see it work in my life. And I realized that God didn't save me from all the mess He saved me from just so I could say, look what He did, so I could look in the mirror and tell myself about it. He said, get out of the mirror and start going outside because somebody else needs what you got. Somebody else needs. Why do you think He sent Philip across that desert to catch that eunuch? There's a man, he's riding and he's almost out of range. I need you to catch him. Take the shortcut. Get across that desert. Catch him before he gets all the way back home. Because he's going to go home. If he makes it home, he's still going to be ignorant of what he's reading. But I need somebody that can tell him. I need somebody that can tell him who Jesus is. I need somebody. So Philip, go. Leave this revival that's going on right now. Take off. Get out of all the fun stuff. Run across that hot sand. Catch that desert, that unit going across that desert, and tell him, you understand what you're reading? How can I if some man won't tell me, won't teach me? We need people telling people about what they don't know, but what they want to know about. They're reading it, but they don't understand it. They're feeling it. They know something's going on in the world, but they don't have any idea what's happening. But God is calling people full of the Holy Ghost to start telling friends, neighbors, loved ones, wherever. Tell somebody about what they're looking for. Your life is not your own. We sing that. Oh, it brings the tears. It brings the praise. But do we mean it? Lord, my life is not my own. It's not my own. It belongs to you. The scripture says my body belongs to him. My spirit belongs to him. My soul belongs to him. Everything I am belongs to him. In him I live, move, have my being. Everything belongs to him. He purchased me with a price. I'm not my own. And you know, Ezekiel, he wrote about it in such a great description, the way the Lord gave it to him about the Lord told Ezekiel, said, I build the waste places. And the places that were uninhabited are going to be inhabited, and the fenced cities are going to be rebuilt. And he said, all these things are going to happen. I'm going to rebuild all these places. I'm going to build the waste places. Why? So that the remnant and so that the heathen can see this and know that there is a God. So that they can see and be, he said, the Lord said, I'll yet be inquired of about this. People are going to start asking me, how does this happen? How do these things happen? What did they see? They see the lives of people that have been destroyed, brought back up. They see restoration and rebuilding and refreshing and reviving in people's lives. And they go, hey, I want that. I want that. But if nobody lets them know there's a restorer, there's a healer, there's somebody, how will they know if we don't tell them? Our stories, our lives, our walk, it's not just for us. It's not our own. In Matthew 26 and 13, Jesus was, we know the story of the woman with the alabaster box and how that, a lot of opinions about that woman in that story. People didn't like it. People thought it was wasteful. A lot of things going on. But this is what Jesus said. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached. In other words, my life, stories, where it's going to be preached, her story. Wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman has done be told for a memorial of her. Do you know how many people have preached about that woman around this world? How many people have heard this story? How many people have had their lives touched by this woman? Never met her. Don't know what she looks like. Have no idea what color hair she had. No description except that she came in and broke that bottle and anointed him and did those things. We just got what she did. And he said, this action right here is going to be told everywhere as a memorial for her. What she did for me, what she sacrificed. And that's that woman, she did those things because she just loved the Lord. She wanted to do something special for him. Everywhere this gospel is preached. And let me tell you, just because we're not in the pages of this book, we are in the pages of his book. And you'd be surprised. When we go to conferences like we did this past week, you'll hear names. Because there's people, and I don't want to use the word famous because it's not about fame, but they're so well recognized. Why? Because of what they've done. They're no better than any one of us. Got the same Holy Ghost we got. But somehow they embraced the call. Somewhere they said, this is the life I want. And so you start hearing about famous names like Billy Cole. And it's like, what about him? Thousands upon thousands upon thousands filled the Holy Ghost and lives changed in other countries. Miracles, signs, wonders, dead people raised up. Different. You start hearing all these stories. It's easy. And even, you know, today most people, at least along our movement, and some even out of our movement, if you talk about the Pentecostals of Alexandria, they know who you're talking about. If you say Bishop G.A. Mangan or Anthony Mangan or Vesta Mangan, you say those names, people go, oh, yeah. You know why? Because they've worn themselves out doing the work of the evangelist. Praying and fasting and seeking and preaching and teaching and loving and giving and serving just so the kingdom can be furthered and so people all around the world know who they are. It could be like that for anyone in here. You have no idea. One act Now, maybe somebody in the deep, dark jungles of the Amazon will never hear your name. But somebody across town will say, you know, I met someone and I was at the worst part of my life. And they helped me, took time with me, loved me, encouraged me, prayed with me, told me about Jesus, and now my life is there. And now somebody else is hearing about you. And then they're going to tell somebody else about it. You know, the ripples can go so far. And it's like that in all the scripture. The woman with the issue of blood. How many messages it's unfathomable to try to come up with a number. How many messages have been preached about the woman with the issue of blood? How many people heard her story and it touched and changed their life forever? And for us, we read it all the time and we hear it all the time and it kind of loses the impact. But for somebody who's never heard it and all of a sudden they're dealing with something they've been dealing with for years and somebody gets up and starts preaching about a woman that was suffering for 12 years and nothing was getting any better and she never thought it would until she touched the hem of his garment, and they realized maybe if I touch Jesus, I can be better. Her story is what matters. You got men that were born blind, Zacchaeus in a tree, Mary, Elizabeth, John the Baptist, Stephen, all these names that we read in the scripture, their stories still going on all around the world. They didn't stop being witnesses when they died. When their flesh and bones and when they were buried and turned to dust, their stories lived on because they're part of the Spirit. And that's why even today, you think of someone that was in your life that touched your life that has passed away. Has the impact changed? Brother Eppard's been gone a long time now, but nothing will ever take away the impact that he made on my life. It puts something in me that'll be here till I leave this world. And you're the same way. You know there's somebody that somehow, somewhere, they touched your life. And maybe they're not here. Maybe they're somewhere else. Maybe you don't see them. But I remember. I remember. And people will remember. You know, in church, there's always this little saying, can I get a witness? I think sometimes the Lord is shouting from heaven, can I get a witness? Well, there ought to be a whole bunch of hands going up because anybody that's filled with the Spirit, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. How come you ain't got your hand up? Got the Spirit, don't you? Then why ain't you using it? Why don't you embrace it? Look, you ain't got to build you a soapbox and preach on every corner. You ain't got to make people uncomfortable. The fruit of the Spirit, the very first thing that's listed is love. Man, if we can start loving this world and loving people, not excusing, but loving. Not condoning, but loving. There's a difference. And if we can just love people of different faiths, love people of different colors, different languages, different countries. Love sinners. Okay? Yeah. Love the lost. If we can do that, oh my. Listen, the stories you read about in Scripture, did their lives, their stories, their sacrifices, did it matter? Absolutely. It mattered. Why did they have to go through that? It mattered. Why did Lazarus have to die so we would know that he's the resurrection and life? Why did Jairus have to why did his daughter have to die? So the Lord could show him, you don't have to be afraid in tough situations, only believe. There was a lesson in every one of them. Paul would tell you, I had to have thorns in my flesh so that I could learn to trust God in my weakness and realize that in my weakness, he is strong. Praise God. In John 17 and 20, the Lord was praying over his disciples. He said, neither pray I for these. I'm not just praying for these that are right here with me in the flesh right now. He said, but I'm praying for those which shall believe on me through their word. The things that they're going to say when they start telling the things they saw, when they start telling the things they did, when they start telling people about the miracles, signs, and wonders, all the stuff that happened while they walked with me, people are going to believe. And even the words that they would write. You know, John was there, and we read John's gospel. And Peter was there, and we read his letters. And so we know that even through their words right there, people are still believing because of their word. And so you hear what your pastor is telling you, your story, your walk, it matters. And it is designed by the nature of the spirit that you have to touch other people's lives. It is meant to be a witness in this world. We are supposed to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And I don't care if you feel like you're a spotlight or a candle or a paper match. It don't matter to me. Let your light so shine before men. Because let me tell you, it don't matter how dark it is. The littlest bit of light, darkness can't stay with it. Darkness can't put out light. And so you let that light shine because somebody else is in that cave with you. Somebody else is in that dark place with you. Somebody else needs to see the light. Don't lose that saltiness, the right kind of saltiness. Don't need salty people unless it's that good godly salt. Mm-hmm. We have to just keep going. We've got to keep serving. We've got to be consistent. It makes a difference. So many people in this day, the scripture says there would be a great falling away in it. I hate that. You know, I don't like that scripture. I don't. I love the word of God, but I don't like that scripture. Not because I think God got it wrong or anything like that, but I don't like it because I know it's true. And it makes me think, I hate to think about people walking away from God, walking away from this great gift that God has given them. He gave his life so you could live. He shed his blood. He filled you with that spirit, the spirit of God dwelling inside of you. How could we ever think of walking away? How do we ever do that? How do people do that? I don't know how they do it. But I know that's going to happen. But the thing that, in my mind, what I think about is that the day that I decide to turn back, take off, would be the day that somebody needed what I've got. That day that I didn't show up would be the day somebody did show up. You know, Jesus gave us a great example. He told his disciples, he said, you go get some food. He said, I got to go through Samaria. Got to. Why? Because there will be a woman there today. And I've got to talk to her. And just think if he had said, you know, yeah, Samaria don't really like us. Why don't we just bypass Samaria? Then there's no story about the woman at the well. We don't learn all the great lessons that we learn in John chapter 4. John chapter 4 just got a lot shorter if Jesus doesn't show up that day. But he did. He did show up, and he told her about living water. He told her about water that would satisfy your earthly thirst. He told her all these great things. And you know what she did? She ran and started telling others. And a whole city come out to see, is this the Christ? Because she simply come and said, guess what? He told me everything y'all already know about me. But I've never seen him before. And you got to come here. And so they came out and said, now it's not just because of what you said, but we heard him for ourselves. What if she just kept it to herself? There's a lot of things that you can preach out of there. But we need that testimony because we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Sometimes, listen, your initial overcoming act is not just your initial testimony. Your testimony can encourage you. We think our testimony, it is to share with other people. Sometimes you got to do like David and encourage yourself in the Lord. Sometimes I have had times where I was just all over the place and praying and struggling and things. And then I would just stop and I would start meditating and I would start thinking back on the things God has showed me and the promises that God has given me and the miracles I've seen him work. And I'd be like, I'm still here. Okay, that's what I needed. I needed to be reminded. I needed to remember. And that's why Peter said, let me stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Let me remind you of some things, what the things that God has done for you. And when I start thinking back to how I sought the Holy Ghost and sought it and sought it and sought it, and then finally God filled me with that spirit, I think, yeah, he gave me a spirit. When I think about how he protected me, that time something hit my windshield, and right before it hit my windshield, I heard the voice of the Lord say, close your eyes. And I think about why would God spare me if he didn't love me? Why would God spare me if I didn't have something to do? Why would God do that? As I remember, God, I know you're for me. I know sometimes it gets rough, and I know sometimes I've got valleys, but I'm going to keep walking by faith. I'm going to keep going because if you did it before, you'll do it again, and I know you'll come through. I've watched you heal the sick. I've watched you change people's lives. I've seen it over and over. Thank you. And I just started going back to it and keep being a witness. Witness to yourself sometimes. Evangelize yourself sometimes. Pray for others. Pray for yourself. Love others, love yourself. The scripture says love our neighbors, we love ourselves. I've said that means some people's neighbors get really getting the short end of the stick because some people hate themselves, and it's obvious. And so I feel bad for the neighbor. But love yourself because God loves you. I love everybody God loves except one, me. Love yourself. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God and the things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to save his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness which is by faith. If there's any story in the scripture about a consistent, faithful witness, it's got to be Noah. For 55 to 75 years, depending on how you add their ages and do things, he labored on that ark, working on that ark. A preacher of righteousness is what Peter called him. And he kept doing those things without another recorded word from God. All he got was the plans. One day I'll make it rain. Bye. And Noah has, do I start tomorrow? Do I start now? You know, I got a lot of questions. Well, I got the plans. And so he starts working. Because I don't know when it's going to rain. And I don't know when this thing that he called a flood is coming. I don't know when it's going to happen. So we're working. Was it worth it, Noah? Long days, hard work, mocked by everybody in the world around you, nobody else wanting to help. Only 8 souls out of the entire world saved by water. When the water splashed against that door, when God shut the door and he could hear the fountains of the deep breaking up and the rain beginning to fall over his head, I guarantee you he said, it was worth it. Consistency. Doing all that God asks of us to do. Do those things because that's what God wants us to do. It's 10:45. Wow. I didn't even get close to through, but hey, maybe I'll finish it next week. Let's stand together. Consistency, and ye shall be witnesses. I don't know if, because now that God, it's been over 2,000 years since God first poured his spirit out on all flesh, I don't know, has it lost impact on people? I don't know. Oh, everybody's talking in tongues now. And see, that's when they reduce it down to just that. It loses the value. I thank God for that initial gift and praying in tongues. Thank God for it. But it's so much more. Oh, on that first day, just 120. And everybody in Jerusalem was like, what in the world is going on? What meaneth this? What's happening here? And everybody, it was a big deal. And today, you know, there's so many different people that say, oh, yeah, we talk in tongues, they talk in tongues, they do this, they believe in spirit moving, and, you know, and it's like, I don't want to ever lose the awe that I have of the Spirit. Because I wouldn't be here without it. And what it can do in just a moment is so much more than we can do with our whole life. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God. And I want to see signs and wonders and miracles. Believe me, I do. I want to see those things that he talked about in the scripture that would follow the signs that follow believers. But ultimately, I know that miracles don't save people. Signs don't save people. I've seen a lot of people get a miracle in their life and walk right out the door. I've seen it. But I'll tell you what, if they get the Spirit, there's a witness in their life. You'd be surprised the difference it makes. Old John the Baptist says he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But we still hear his voice today. Make straight those paths. Get ready for the entrance of the Lord. Bring forth fruit, rightful repentance, and I feel the Holy Ghost. I want to be a witness, because that's where people are going to get saved. That's where lives are going to be changed. That's where people are going to be added to the kingdom. That's where it's going to happen. So we need the Holy Ghost. I hope that now every time you read Acts 1 and 8 that you'll realize what that power was first mentioned for. And ye shall be witnesses. And ye shall be witnesses. And ye shall be witnesses. I want to be a witness to the Lord. Amen. Let's lift our hands and pray together. Lord, thank you today for the promise of your Spirit. Thank you for the power to be a witness. Lord, we're thankful for the authority that comes in your name, that we can lay hands on the sick and they recover. We're thankful for all the miracles and things, Lord, we are. But Lord, let us walk by faith and live by faith and be a consistent, faithful witness, because that's what you intended for your church. Hallelujah. To be a light, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Lord, let us embrace the promise of the Spirit today. Do the work of the evangelist through the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand this morning. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Thankful for the Spirit of the Lord today.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.